We do not have another scripture reading this morning. We're just going to be focusing on this story of Jesus. So there is a picture that's made the rounds online. It's in a grocery store, and it shows all these shelves of wine. So we're in the wine section, but above the wine bottles, someone has taken the sign that says wine, so people know where to look to find it. They've taken that and switched it out with the sign that says water. All right, and so you see a sign that says water, and all these wine bottles are underneath it, and the caption on this picture online says, Jesus was here! Right? So this is a story that a lot of us are at least somewhat familiar with. Like, even people who aren't Christians, who aren't that familiar with the Bible, know something about Jesus turning water into wine. We see references to this all over the place in popular culture, in jokes, in bumper stickers, and t-shirts. This is one of the most well-known things about Jesus, that he turned water into wine. But here's the problem. When people talk about Jesus turning water into wine, all of the focus is on what he did, the act itself, the fact that Jesus could take one thing and turn it into something else. We say that that shows God's power. The fact that he could do that, it shows that Jesus was God. So when we look at that miracle, we focus on what Jesus did, the act of turning water into wine. What we hardly ever talk about is why Jesus did it. Why did Jesus turn water into wine? Was it just to keep the party going? Was it to show his power? To prove that he was God? Why did he do this? He wasn't doing it just to do it. Like, just to show that he could. Jesus never did things just because. There's a reason for it. There's something else going on here. Something that actually has pretty significant implications for our lives today. This isn't just a miracle that happened 2,000 years ago. There's an ongoing miracle with this today. When Jesus performed miracles, and pretty much every other time we read about a miracle in Scripture, the purpose, the point of that miracle is not just to prove God's power so that people will believe in him. That certainly happens. It's like a byproduct, but it's not the point. It's not the reason that he does it. The point of Jesus' miracles is to break down the barriers that are keeping us from God and from each other. To remove or overcome the things that are keeping us from being whole with God and with each other. That's what a miracle is. When God removes the obstacles and the barriers that are keeping us apart. When God acts in such a way that it restores the wholeness and the harmony of the world, of our lives, and allows us to be at one with God and with our neighbor. That is the point of everything that Jesus does. His birth, his life, teachings and healings, his death and resurrection, all of it is to make us at one with God and with each other. That's the purpose of a miracle. Now, with that in mind, let's take a look at this story of Jesus turning water into wine. How do we see that here? Jesus is at a wedding, and they run out of wine. So they come to him for help. The key to understanding this story and this miracle is in verse 6. It says, standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification. That's like a detail that we skip over all the time. It seems like an insignificant verse, but it is actually incredibly important. Six stone jars filled with water for the Jewish rites of purification. We see this all throughout the Old Testament. If you have leprosy, you have to go through this process of ritual cleansing. If you touch blood or a dead body, you have to go through a process of ritual cleansing. There are all these circumstances where if this thing happens to you, if you do this, you have to go through a rite of purification. Otherwise, you are considered impure, unclean, and unacceptable to God. You're not allowed to enter into the presence of God if you did not go through this ritual washing. So if you were unclean or impure, you couldn't go into the temple to worship or to make the sacrifices necessary for God to forgive your sin. You had to make those offerings and sacrifices in order to be right with God. And if you were unclean, you couldn't do that. You couldn't do the things you needed to do to be right with God. So this ritual purification was a big deal. Because being unclean, it kept people from God, and it kept people from each other. Lepers were forced to live on the outskirts of town, isolated from the community. There are instances where if a woman was unclean, she had to go off by herself for a period of time, isolated from the community. So this process of ritual purification, it had significant religious and social implications. At this wedding, there would have been a huge feast, lots of food spread out over days. According to Jewish law, anytime they were going to have a big feast or eat like this, the Jewish people had to go through this ritual washing, this rite of purification. So these stone jars were there for the people as they're coming to the wedding celebration to cleanse and purify themselves so that they were keeping Jewish law. They were right with God. They were acceptable to God. Jesus takes those jars of water reserved for special religious rituals and turns that water into wine. What that means is there's no water left for the rite of purification. People can't wash themselves, cleanse themselves as they come to the feast. That's a problem, right? But Jesus takes the water of ritual and turns it into the wine of celebration. And in doing so, he is saying, you don't need that anymore. You don't need to wash, to go through this ritual of cleansing and purifying yourself in order to be acceptable to God. That stuff is not going to keep you from God anymore. That's not what makes you right with God, at one with God. We can celebrate because God is removing that barrier that keeps you from God, and God is doing that, Jesus says, in me. Now, we don't have ritual washing, rites of purification that we have to go through anymore. But this miracle is still as significant for us as it was for them. Because so many times we operate under that mindset that I have to do more and more and more in order to please God and be right with God. That I have to take part in certain rituals in order to earn God's favor, whether it is baptism or communion or coming to worship or reading scripture or praying or confessing or tithing or whatever, that I have to do these things to be at one with God, to be acceptable to God, at peace with God. That I have to prove myself to God, and God's blessing for me is about what I do. All of those things are really important parts of our faith: baptism, communion, prayer, reading scripture. But Jesus did not come to say, God loves you if you do the right things the right way. If you meet all the requirements, if you earn it or deserve it, if you prove your faith, Jesus says, just the way you are, with your dirty hands and your broken lives, with all your pain and mistakes, God loves you and accepts you and is with you just the way you are. A life of faith is about celebrating that Jesus has broken down all the barriers that work to keep us from God and from each other. That is the miracle that God gives us. That what was once impossible, being at one with God, is now abundantly possible. The hard part is believing in that miracle. Believing that God could love me and accept me as I am with no conditions or requirements, without having to change one bit God's love for me is steadfast. That is 10 times harder than believing Jesus turned water into wine. Because it is ingrained in us that our worth as human beings is based on what we do. And what Jesus is telling us is, your worth is not based on what you do. It is based on who you are as a child of God. And not just who you are, he says, but who I am. That is the message that we as Christians, as a church, have to share with the world. That you are beautiful and wonderful and loved, and your life has value simply because of who you are, not what you do or what you've done. That is an extraordinarily countercultural message. Because the world around us tells us that our worth, our value is based on what we do, how hard we work, what we produce, what we have, what we earn. And what happens is we hear that so much every day, in all these subtle little ways. And it's really easy to buy into that. And it starts to creep into our faith. And then it starts to filter into our life together as the church. And we think that God's love for us, God's blessing for us as individuals, as a church, depends on what we do to earn it. So what happens is churches can become too focused on ritual. We become dependent on ritual. We have to do this thing this way because that's what's acceptable to God and that's what makes us acceptable to God. We have to be baptized and baptized in this way because that's what makes us acceptable to God. We have to do communion in this way because that's what makes us acceptable to God. We have to worship in this way, follow this order of worship, use this type of music, sing these songs because that's what makes us acceptable to God. If we don't do these things in this way, if we do something different, then I don't feel like what we're doing is acceptable to God. And if I'm doing that, then it means that I'm not acceptable to God. We have to do these things because we've always done them. That's the way this works. That's the way God works. And if we don't do these things this way, then God might not accept us or love us or bless us. That's the mindset we can fall into. And we're not always even conscious of it. Sometimes it is a very subconscious thing at work in us. We get so focused and dependent and stuck in our rituals that we end up missing the point of those rituals. That the reason we do those things isn't so that God will accept us and love us and bless us. The reason that we worship and we baptize, and we share communion, and we sing, and we pray, and read scripture, and tithe, and all of those things. The reason we do it is because God loves us and accepts us. And we are celebrating God's love and acceptance in our lives. We're saying, I want to do this thing to give thanks to you, God, for who you are and all that you have done. Your steadfast love for me, this is my way of saying thank you. Jesus took the water of ritual and turned it into the wine of celebration. And if we get too focused or stuck on the ritual, on the act itself, we're going to end up missing out on the celebration. And that is true for every aspect of our lives. If we get too focused on the way things should be, the way things are supposed to be, then we're going to miss out on the way things are and the way things can be. I mean, what if there had been someone at that wedding who said, Jesus, you can't turn that water into wine. We need that water to be acceptable to God. We're not going to let you do this. They would have missed out on the celebration and the good news that Jesus was proclaiming in that moment, that we are free. Free from the demands of ritual, free from the need to do more and more and more to earn God's favor, free
to be accepted and to accept others. Free to forgive because we are forgiven. Free to love because we are loved. Free to live our lives with God and with each other in celebration. Free to drink up the miracle that we are good enough for God just the way we are. That is the real miracle. A life of faith is meant to be a celebration of the grace and mercy and abundance and goodness of God. And that is why Jesus turned water into wine. Amen.